The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
What if this isn't a climate crisis, but the greatest opportunity humanity has had in a long time? Lean Into Clean will explore and discuss with highly esteemed guests on what could be the new spirals for society, sustainability, spirituality, and social harmony. Perhaps we've all lost our way. Lean Into Clean will showcase how we might remember, refocus and restore the natural ways so we can again live in balance and harmony with life on Earth and all its inhabitants. Welcome to this week's Lean Into Clean. I'm Jarvis Smith. You're on UK Health Radio. I hope you're having fun on this rather dull and dreary Monday morning up in North Yorkshire. I hear it's a bit sunny down in London, so maybe I should get down there. Today's guest, actually, I think is down south, definitely representing the southern part of the UK, but I'll give you more on that in a moment. I was going to just start with a little bit of news from mygreenpod.com. It's a story that went up on March the 1st. It actually links very nicely to today's guest, who is an absolute pioneer in the sustainable fashion world. This headline is "The New Fashion. So fast fashion could be left on the peg as pre-loved and repair displace new sales." Now, this is really interesting, right? A new report from Wrap, in collaboration with leading resale and repair businesses and brands, shows the positive impacts that a range of circular business models are having in stopping the purchase of new clothes. The insights are outlined in the report "Displacement Rates Untangled" and make essential reading for the UK, which in 2024 was the fourth highest consumer of clothing of any nation after the USA, China and India. I mean, how mad is that? We have a much less population than the USA, China and India by the power of like 10 or something. So now this guy, Harriet Lamb, is the Wrap CEO. She said, "Our research shows that buying pre-loved both satisfies our desire for clothes, for something new to us, and means we don't buy so many brand new items. And what's more, we can now clearly and consistently measure the environmental case for a range of circular business models, including repair for the first time. I encourage companies to adopt this new technique. Customers are looking to them for new services like repair and renting." It does go on. It is a lot more information, but I'm not going to give you the whole article. If you want to find out more about that reuse and hire and repurposing clothes, then do go to mygreenpod.com. In fact, any subject matter you're interested in, anything at all, from cycling to energy to cars to food to walking, you know, the whole thing, you can just go to mygreenpod.com, put in the search bar any interest, and it will come up with a plethora of articles written by my very clever and very gorgeous wife, Katie Hill, who's the editor-in-chief. So that's a bit of a new spin on today. I hope you're considering, you know, every time you put on an item of clothing, you know, and you know, it gets to the kind of the end of its days, can it be repaired? Does it need to be replaced? Do we need to buy into fast fashion? Can we buy into labels that are sustainable? Which brings me very nicely to today's guest. Today's guest is Gav Lawson. Now, he is the CEO and founder of THTC, which we're going to find out more about. But what they do is they produce sustainably grown hemp t-shirts, hoodies and accessories, specializing in screen printed embroidery designs inspired by environmental activism and music. Now, Gav and THTC have been around for a very long time. We're going to go into the detail, but they are actually seen as one of the most sustainable fashion brands in the UK by Ethical Consumer. I'll tell you a little bit about Gav. After studying marketing at UWE in Bristol, Gav co-founded THT Clothing back in 1999 and has spent the last 25 years running the brand. The brand has produced merchandise for hundreds of bands, charities and businesses, and enjoys huge support from, check this, actors, activists and musicians such as Woody Harrelson, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, Harrelson, who we know from White Men Can't Jump and loads of other films, Hugh Grant, Danny Dyer, Jason Fleming, Goldie, Method Man, Redman, Albrosia, and the Stereo MCs. And that's just to name but a few. I'm pretty sure I've seen Ed Sheeran in THT t-shirts and loads more. I've got about five of them. I love them. I keep them as my best tees. So when I'm on stage performing, I always pull out a THTC. I don't want to wear them every day because I want them to last through my life. But Gav, welcome to this week's Lean Into Clean. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Jarvis. Thank you for having me, mate. It's been a long time.
It has been a long time. You and I are due a major, major catch up. Gav, why did you start THTC back in 1999 when I bet people didn't even know what sustainability meant, did they, in those days?
Definitely not in terms of fashion. I mean, words like sustainable clothing, organic fashion, you know, ethical clothing. You know, these were all kind of buzzwords that hadn't really cropped up on the, particularly in the fashion scene back then. But we started because my brother was actually studying environmental politics at university several years before that, and he focused on hemp, and he did his dissertation on hemp. And we started societies. I was at UE in Bristol, UWE in Bristol. He was up in Hull, and we started university societies running alongside club nights, music nights, and sourcing hemp samples from wherever we could get them from in terms of hemp plastics, paper, food, textiles, whatever. And we started hemp awareness societies at those two universities, which became pretty popular. And THTC was born out of that. My brother had actually started a company called THC, the Hemp Collective, with a bunch of mates from uni, and that was a cosmetics company. But I, you know, my marketing degree came in quite handy, and we just decided to focus on. Well, I mean, you know, the hemp industry was kind of, yeah, it wasn't really taking off in any industry over here. In hindsight, I probably would have gone into hemp plastic, but we just thought, oh, what's the best way to put hemp out there onto the high street? And we thought of clothing, and then we started a whole full range from Romania of all sorts of garments, but it was so expensive that we decided to cut back to t-shirts because we thought, where can we get the most amount of joy and impact would be from screen-printed designs that might grab headlines. So that's where it was born.
Nice, nice. And thank you for that. And shout out to your bro. I love your brother, and as I love you. You're real pioneers in what you're doing, and thank you for that. Tell us a little bit about the art that you have on your t-shirts, because I know that the activism side of things has been really fundamentally important. In fact, I reckon you were probably one of the earliest kind of activism brands that really catered for the hip-hop community, because that's kind of where it all started, wasn't it? And for those of you that are kind of, you know, wondering what I mean by hip-hop, I mean it was very much a street-led, you know, kind of music driven community. I mean, obviously, of course, hip-hop is the music, but actually hip-hop is a culture, right, Gav?
Yeah, absolutely. The five pillars of hip hop. Yeah. So, I mean, we do. We work within, you know, we've worked within breakdance, within DJing, MCs, beatbox, all of it around, you know, kind of the sustainability kind of angle. What with, you know, hip hop was born out of New York, obviously, from, you know, people without a lot of money, and it was a kind of activist voice and a way of life and an art form, really. And we kind of bought into that. It wasn't just hip hop. We were working alongside a lot of jungle drum and bass DJs, MCs at the time, reggae artists, you know, our kind of counterculture scene that we grew up in. There were a lot of kind of skate and surf brands around at that time, and that would have probably been a logical way to go. But I mean, you know, my brother and I were snowboarders. We were never skaters, and we were never particularly surfers. So, and the market was kind of flooded. So we just thought the best way to, you know, to the best people to give t-shirts to would be people with microphones at gigs. And
Good one.
Particularly, you know, we never really pushed the smoking side. You know, we've always tried to disassociate hemp from sm the
Yeah.
smoking side because it's predictable and obvious, and at the time was, you know, potentially detrimental to the brand. Now things have changed a lot in the cannabis scene, and so we're not so worried about that because people don't look at it so much as a dangerous drug and more as a medicine, and, you know,
Yeah.
and that kind of thing now. So, but at the time we disassociated, so we didn't really focus about weed, the weed side of things. But a lot of these guys that we gave t-shirts to love the fact that it was made of hemp because it's you know, it's a cousin to the weed side. So, you know, that they were quite into it because it was anti-establishment, because it was environmental, because it was a cousin of cannabis, and it gave these people a really good kind of reason to be activists, really. You know, whether or not we printed activist slogans and designs on our t-shirts, the whole process of actually making clothing out of hemp is quite an activist scene anyway. And you let people know that, you know, hemp can be grown with a fraction of the water of cotton. It doesn't need chemicals, doesn't need pesticides. You've got thousands of byproducts from clean engine oil to, you know, paper to food to cosmetics to everything. Then people were really quite, you know, really, really got behind it and felt quite enthused about it. So, yeah, I was surprised how easy it was once we met a few artists for them to be introducing to other people, and then it kind of snowballed. So,
Yeah, amazing. I mean, it's really nice actually to hear the kind of, you know, the disruptiveness of hemp itself used as a material, because there are so many benefits, as you've just outlined. It grows easily, it uses less water than traditional, you know, even cotton and bamboo and things like that. So I'm glad you mentioned that. I'd like to go into that a little bit more actually. Just give us, because you're definitely an expert in hemp, certainly for it to be used as a material for clothing. Just give us a bit more of an overview on the importance of hemp and perhaps how it could shift the dynamics of a fashion industry culture.
okay, so currently there's about 150 billion new items of clothing that are made every year. In fashion, only around 1% of that is made into new garments. About 87% of clothing worldwide goes to landfill, and a lot of that is within the first year. So, like the first and foremost point that we always try and get across is you should buy things that are going to last, as opposed to fashion is by its very nature. You know, it's a wasteful industry. It's encouraged to throw things away after a year and buy something new every season, or not even a year, every season, every 6 months. So, you know, we've always tried to get away from that, encourage people to buy fewer items, but things that last longer. Now, hemp is a lot more durable than cotton. It's obviously a lot more durable than all these synthetics that derive from petroleum. And it, you know, it just lasts a long time. So we have t-shirts. We have people coming out to us at festivals wearing t-shirts they bought 20 years ago, which is, you know, a little bit
That's
detrimental.
amazing.
It's amazing, but, you know, often kind of saying, "Hey, do you want to buy another t-shirt?" And they're like, "Oh, no, it's all good. This is fine." So
Not good for the business model.
not good for the business. So, you know, it's kind of anti-marketing in a way, you know. So we do just encourage people to buy less, repair things. Upcycle, you know, we've done a lot of upcycling programs with universities and other brands. And just to get people to kind of question what they're buying, where it comes from, because most people don't know, for instance, that a standard cotton t-shirt requires 2,500 liters of water to make one t-shirt, you know. And most people, especially in the kind of, you know, I'm not big into naming and shaming brands, but we all know who the fast fashion brands are, and the, you know, the cheap stuff. And what's really important as well is that, you know, it's very difficult to it's very easy to be preachy in this scene, because some people can't afford to spend money on clothes and need to, or think they need to go and buy new stuff from, you know, cheap fast fashion outlets. They don't, obviously, with the amount of kind of secondhand places, pre-loved clothing sites, you really don't need to spend a lot of money. There's Vinted, Thrift, pre-loved, Depop, Trade, eBay, Olio, all of these places, and a lot of charity shops. So, you know, we would just encourage people to buy less, but to buy stuff that lasts. And to avoid at all costs clothing with synthetics, with polyester, you know, because the vast majority of fashion, about 69% of our garments are made from synthetic fibers, most of which are polyester, and that's derived from petroleum, never breaks down, ends up microplastics in the ocean and in the water supply. So yeah, and 90% of plastic doesn't actually get recycled. It just ends up on landfill. So, you know, we're just encouraging people to read the labels, find out where their stuff is produced. And also, you know, I always have this slogan. I always say, like, I work too hard for my money to give it to people that don't deserve it, to companies and the people that don't deserve it. Cause boycott is a very, very powerful tool that we all have in our locker. And if you just decide to stop buying something, a product, or from a company, then they'll have to change their you know, their production very, very quickly. So, you know, the power is potentially with us as consumers.
Yeah.
But it's about finding out. And also, greenwash is such a massive thing these days in fashion. You know, so a lot of companies would rather spend money on PR to make them look green and produce a small, very small part of their range, which is sustainable, organic, and really focus on that. Whereas the vast majority of it is throwaway fast fashion.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. I love that. I love that. Thanks for saying that, Gav. I want to get into, you know, more into the kind of cool stuff. But I think it's really important for everybody that's listening just to recognize that you have the power to make a difference. It's exactly what Gav just said. You have the power to decide where you spend your money. And, you know, fashion is one of those, or clothes, should I say, is one of those very important aspects where, you know, you really can put your money into a positive, impactful, sustainable brand, or a reuse or upcycled brand. I do all my shopping at charity shops now, Gav, you'll be pleased to know. It's very rare. You know, if I need like a really crisp white shirt, I'll get, you know, an organic cotton for a suit or something like that. But it's very rare I buy anything new these days. It does have to happen occasionally. But I always buy good and the stuff that can be, you know, to last, so can be fixed. So thank you for that. We are shortly going to have to go to a commercial break, but let's just talk about very quickly, because I asked you this question and we didn't really get into it. What are some of the memorable slogans or images that you've had on the tees that are real kind of for you, the cherry picked favourites?
Am I allowed to swear on this podcast or not?
I'm probably not, no, probably but not. But maybe you could fill in the blanks.
Fill in the blanks. Okay, so, I mean, we've had a lot of it is imagery through a man that you know very well, Mau Mau, who I introduced you to years ago.
Yes.
Who is kind of like a more an environmentally, sustainably led graffiti street artist from Devon. And his art is very much around environmentalism, about hemp, and a big business, really, attacks on big business, or oil companies, you know, banking system, these sort of things. So originally, slogan wise, I mean, I had a first range in 99 2000, which we had slogans like No Sweatshop, and F Synthetics, fill in the blanks, and then we had one which was Burn Bush Burn, which was with dollar signs in space of the S's, and that was a dig at George Bush, but also burning Bush of Moses, and about burning bush as in burning hemp, and it was just a pretty basic slogan, but it outsold everything else by, you know, 10 to 1. So we just thought, oh, okay. So then we came out with Smoke Bush Not Afghans during the Iraq War, which was
nice, yeah,
play on cannabis, but but yeah, people love that. So, you know, a lot of the slogans, F Synthetics, we've done The Missing Piece with PEACE, with, you know, chunks of rainforest being bulldozed. And then we've had, you can go through our back catalogue, but a lot of the designs less slogan based and more around Mau Mau's kind of artwork and this kind of thing, plays on words quite often. Using kind of Mau Mau uses cartoon graphics to get across very kind of important environmental points. So we use Disney characters and cartoons, caricatures of Ronald McDonald, things like this, very cleverly, so that they haven't sued us yet, but they probably easily could do from kind of taking elements of what they do and just satirizing it. So, I think the best kind of art really is has got a sense of humor and a bit of comedy behind it quite often. So we're talking very serious topics and
Yeah, amazing. We're gonna have to cut to a commercial break, but just very quickly before we do that, I think we had about at least 15, if not 20 issues of My Green Pod magazine with Mau Mau artwork on. And I remember that one with the kind of play on Ronald McDonald. And we put it in, we were distributing with The Guardian then, and Mau Mau sent us in the image, and he was tipping oil onto a plant or something. It was a really, really brilliant piece of artwork. And it got all signed off. It was going to be going out on the front cover. They printed 50,000 copies, and they called me. I was at the airport on the way to a trip somewhere because we just put the magazine to bed, and they said, "Jarvis, we can't put this magazine out." I was like, "Why?" And they said, "Well, because it will affect our advertising revenue." And I was like, "Wow, this is the Guardian." Like, this was about 10 years ago. And I said, "Well, what are you going to do? Because you've approved it." So they had to reprint the whole thing again. And what they did is they blacked out the image. So we had to put this cover out like with a blacked out image. And Mau Mau actually used that in his book. So, we love this. We love this. It's a story that when I retire, I'm gonna put into my kind of my book. But I'm not quite there yet. Anyway, we'll cut to a commercial break. Gav, we're going to come back to you in a minute. We're talking a little bit more about Mau Mau and his artwork. We'll also talk about the celebrities that you've had wearing your t-shirts and how you met those, how you met them, because there's some big names there. But we'll be back shortly. See you in a second.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. I'm Jarvis Smith. This is Lean Into Clean. I'm here with Gav Lawson from THTC. By the way, if you guys want to have a look at the designs on the hoodies and the tees and everything else, you can go to thtc.co.uk. There's some really iconic stuff there. If you want to check out some of the covers that we did, you can have a look at mygreenpod.com. Just go back into the magazines and you'll see loads and loads and loads of covers with Mau Mau's artwork on. Thank you for that introduction, Gav, because he's been a legend. We even had Mau Mau produce some live art at a festival a couple of probably about 5 years ago, and that was pretty epic as well. He's a serious talent. How did you meet Mau Mau? Because obviously, being a graffiti artist, someone that tends to keep them at their anonymity, they don't want to be known who they are. How did you come across somebody like him?
So he was doing the album covers for Rodney P, Godfather of UK hip hop, and Skits, who he went to school with. I think he grew up with Skits, and I saw this piece of artwork and I just thought that's amazing. And I was working with Skits and he gave me his number, and yeah, now we just have got on famously since then. I've always said that, well, a couple of things. If it wasn't for Mau Mau, then THCC wouldn't have lasted this long, because at least I'd say half of our best-selling designs have come from Mau Mau.
Yeah.
But also, yeah, so I probably would have gone and got a proper job and actually, you know, made a proper living. So I blame him. But also, yeah, if I wasn't running THCC, I would have become his manager, I think, because he's one of these very frustrating guys who, essentially, if he's making money, he thinks he's working for, say, for Babylon, you know. So he's very much a dreaded man, and really doesn't want to put his artwork out there because of the integrity. But also, you know, he should be making a lot more money.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a man. We've got loads of his artwork in our house, actually. I love his stuff.
Yeah.
And when you say dreaded, you mean he's got dreadlocks rather than he's a dreaded person, just to be clear there.
dready man, yes. Yeah.
So tell us about some of the other celebs. I mean, do you remember, like, you know, in the 25 years that you've been in it, that first iconic celebrity that put on your T-shirt? How did it make you feel, and who was it?
Oh, it was great. I mean, we started, you know, within, as I said, the drum and bass and hip hop scene. So it was just lovely seeing our T-shirts on, you know, things like the DMC, World DJ Champs and stuff like that, seeing it on the big screens. I mean, the first big, I guess, celebrity would have been getting a call from Skits, who I just mentioned. His girlfriend at the time was working for an agency, international booking agency, and she called me up and said, Inspector Deck is one of Wu-Tang Clan. He wants to be in your catalogue. Any chance we can arrange that? So I went round to his hotel. He was over on tour and did a little shoot with them. But that was kind of, you know, that's, I guess, four years into the brand.
Nice.
Really exciting.
And Wu-Tang were massive then, weren't they? That was like, you know, this was the time when they were big, big, you know, mainstream hip-hop band.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, but outside of that, I mean, Woody would have been the big one. I went to see a play of his in the West End, and I queued up, and I knew he was obviously a big hemp activist. So I queued up afterwards. I was the first in the queue out the behind the stage door, just in the streets of Soho. And I gave him a T-shirt and a business card and a flyer or whatever. And then I didn't really think about it for a while. And then a few months later, I got a call while I was at home watching Cheers on TV, because I was always watching Cheers on the old DVDs, and he called me up on the home phone and was like, "It's Woody."
No way.
Woody, and he invited me out. We went for dinner with his family, and he invited me to a screening of his show and his new film, like, you know, cinema with eight seats in it, and just really looked after me. And then he was the judge on the. It was quite funny. We went out to the West End and we're in there, and Woody never really understood the concept of not smoking weed wherever you wanted to smoke weed. And we're at a pub, and he just starts lighting up, and the manager came over and I was like, "Oh, we're in trouble now." And he was just like, "Do you want to go over here behind this curtain, behind this, you know, so that no one bothers you?" And it was very surreal.
Nice.
Seeing how the other half live. But no, he was always great to me. And he was actually on the judging panel for the Observer Ethical Awards. And we came runner up, and it was very much, I heard, because he was on the judging panel, and he wouldn't have it that we weren't going to kind of, you know, be recognized, which
nice.
was great. But since then, yeah, I've worked with a lot of actors, a lot of comedians, and then, you know, the kind of the musicians, as you mentioned, Ed Sheeran, people like that. It's kind of got to a bigger level. Which is great, you know. It's
amazing. It's not great. It's amazing. I mean, honestly, Gav, I know when you're in it, when you're in this business, and you know, you're trying to just making yourself survive and pay the staff and, you know, keep production up and running and stuff like that. But if you can take a step back and look in, it's like such an amazing achievement, mate. Serious pat on the back to you. And everybody that's listening, do go out and support thtc.co.uk clothing. Get yourself or your kids or your, you know, your grandchildren or whoever it might be, get them a present from this ethical, brilliant, shining star brand, because they are really, really cool.
Thank you, Joe. So I've actually got a discount code, if I can give it to you guys.
Of course you can, mate. Let's do it. Let's do it. And we'll try and pin it up on the show as well, if we can.
Okay.
But go on, what's the discount code?
Well, we have thtc.co.uk and thtc.eu because of that lovely Brexit thing that didn't quite work
yes.
out. So we had to start another site. So, but the same code will work for both of them, which is thtc events with an S 20. the number 20. So that will give 20% off any full price hemp item. We also do a 4 for 3 across all of our hemp tees and all of our hemp socks as well. So for you buy 3 and you get a free t-shirt or
that's amazing. That's amazing. So just to be very clear, it's THTC Events 2020. That will get you a 20% discount at the website thtc.co.uk. Amazing. Gav, I'm going to ask you as well whether you might be interested in putting a little competition together. And then what I'll do is I'll talk about it again next week. But what we could do is we could put the comp up on mygreenpod.com in the competitions. And then people, if they want to maybe apply to win a T-shirt as well, that would be pretty cool. So let us know. Have a think about that. I don't want to put you on the spot. But if you fancy doing that, we could do that as well.
That's absolutely fine, mate. Yeah, of course.
And then we can gather some data. We can email everybody and we can put those discounts out again through an email. So
I think harvesting data is the way that we we can harvest some data.
There we go. Hemp harvest some data, of course.
Hemp harvest, perfect. Yeah, that sounds great. And I just wanted to mention, so we have charity ranges on the site. So various T-shirts have charitable donations to Refugee Community Kitchen, World Land Trust. We do the David Attenborough official T-shirt with World Land Trust. And
King David. That's a great T-shirt. My wife wears that still now.
It's a very popular one. So that's with World Land Trust and he's the official patron. And then I'm actually about to go into business with Just Stop Oil, which is going to upset a lot of people, but it's also, I think, extremely important. So we're going to raise money through a few of our oil related designs, which is going to go towards kind of legal fees for people that are in jail.
Oh, mate, that's absolutely beautiful. It's an interesting thing, this, isn't it? Let's just have a conversation about Just Stop Oil, because I have my own views on it, and I can see personally why it's such an important activism cause, because, of course, fossil fuels are the very thing that is driving us to mass extinction. You know, since the Paris Agreement, we're getting worse. We need to reduce our usage of fossil fuels by We need to reduce our usage by 2030 and then go down to half from there, right? And we're not. We're getting worse and worse each year. My take on it, Gav, is that I think activism is really, really, really important. The problem is, and we all know this is a problem, is when activists stop people's daily kind of lifestyles, i.e., you know, getting to funerals or getting to the dentist or getting to work or wherever it might be, it has this adverse knock-on effect and then people become reactive to it. So it causes more of a kind of negative impact than a positive impact. I still agree that it's important, but how do you think we get around that? What are your views on it? Why are you supporting Just Stop Oil?
Well, because as you say, fossil fuels are the single most damaging thing to the climate crisis, you know, especially when we've got climate change deniers in the White House and reform is all, you know, funded by climate change deniers and big oil. I think, you know, unless with any kind of protest, unless you're actually getting on people's nerves and disrupting, then they're ineffectual. So it's all very well people going, well, I could support them, but I don't like how they're doing it. It's like, if they weren't doing it this way, they wouldn't be on front pages. They wouldn't, you know, so they have to grab headlines. So that's just the nature of good protest, unfortunately. I mean, there are certain things which, you know, maybe, you know, spray painting Stonehenge or something like that, or not spray painting. It was just, you know, nothing they do is actually damaging to any of the art or any things they actually, you know, attack. It's just to grab headlines. And unfortunately, you know, it needs to be, especially in this country where they're trying to silence this. I mean, it started with the Tories, didn't it? And now as Labour seem to be doing the same thing of really coming down hard on environmental protests. And the language is very dangerous, calling people eco-zealots because they want to stop the world from burning. I mean, you know, it's the media has a huge amount to answer to in this country, because as we know, like 80% of print media is all owned by, you know, non-dom billionaires that want to avoid paying tax. I mean, that's why we're in this position we're in, and they all get backhanders from big oil. So I am fully behind them. And if you need to annoy people, I mean, you just also look at how they report on other protests, such as, the farmers. You know, that doesn't get the front page, the shutting down the whole of central London, or even the Jubilee, things like this, which cause far more disruption. And it's just how it's reported in the press, unfortunately.
Yeah.
We live in this country by Daily Mail headlines and all the rest of the trawlers kind of, pick off their news based on that. Everyone's terrified of the Daily Mail's front page. It shouldn't be like that. We're held to ransom by the media in this country.
Yeah, but legacy media, not the independent media like us. I know everybody that's listening to this will be on your side, Gav. They'll be applauding you. In fact, I can hear claps in the wind. That's how strong your message is going to be. That's a really cool product. So when will that be available? When will the...
So we are, hopefully in the next couple of weeks, we have two designs. One's called the Bling Reaper and one's called the Reaper. The Reapist, and they're both Mau Mau designs, and you
Brilliant.
can see pretty obviously which oil companies they're having a dig at. but it's pretty obvious. But yes, we're going to be giving 25% of the sale of those two t-shirts to Just Stop Oil, as I said, to specifically to the people that are in jail to try and raise money and awareness of their plights, because people shouldn't be in jail for protesting the climate crisis.
No. I absolutely agree. The world has gone absolutely mad. I mean, it's always been a little bit crazy, but now it seems to be at its extreme. Let's just hope it can't get any worse. I mean, of course it can. I mean, with this impending climate crisis, the negativity around the big business, which incidentally you've called out the legacy media. They're all funded by the same investment funds and the same leaders and billionaires that want to make as much money out of every problem on the planet. So this is why it's important for us to recognize, we are 90% or possibly even 95% of the reason why these people and companies and organizations exist, because we fund them. As soon as we stop funding them, they will collapse. So, it is part of our responsibility to do that. But Gav, go on, tell us a little bit more. Get on your soapbox for 4 minutes before we go to the next advert. Then we're going to play one of your songs.
Okay, fantastic. I mean, in terms of fashion, then a lot of people don't know that fashion emits more CO2 every year than aviation and maritime shipping combined. So when we're, when you have Just Stop Oil or other protests talking about, eating less meat or taking fewer flights or, this kind of thing. It's very, very important for people to know just how much carbon is produced as a result of the fashion industry. And also in terms of growing hemp. So, I've mentioned cotton, being very thirsty, but chemicals and everything else. But, the fast fashion, which predominantly all comes from synthetics through petroleum, that is the real issue. How much plastic we use in everyday life and in fashion in particular. Now, one hectare of hemp can absorb 22 tons of CO2 per hectare, and that's more than any forest or commercial crop, and it's an ideal carbon sink. So really what we need to do is have nothing's changed since we've been doing this, unfortunately, 25 years. We need to be growing more hemp. We've got a big farming crisis in this country. We need to be growing.
Does it grow easily in England? Does it grow
easily? Yeah, very easily. It grows pretty much everywhere apart from desert. It does require some water, but it doesn't require a lot. Desert and obviously North Pole, that sort of climate. But otherwise, it's a weed. It's very hard to stop it from growing. So you just chuck it down and it grows, and it doesn't need any pesticides, because it's a very thorough crop. It's just hard to stop it. Very hardy. But because of the thousands of different byproducts, it's just extremely useful. So there's so many industries. Although the hemp industry for textile in this country is non-existent, because we don't have the mills and the plants to produce it, in terms of producing oil for food and biomass and engine oil, this kind of thing, it's absolutely perfect. But there's no real reason. The one obviously it's linked to cannabis in terms of the hemp industry and legalities with growing hemp and getting a license is linked to cannabis. So the fact that cannabis is being legalized or decriminalized in, across the world is a very good thing for the hemp industry. But we need people to be aware that there are so many industries that could benefit from hemp. Plastics being a perfect one. There's no reason to have single-use plastic bags. They should have been made illegal years ago, but it's a byproduct of petroleum. It's very cheap, so that's why we still
Yeah, then the oil industry needs to keep the oil out there, otherwise they're not making any money, are they? So,
absolutely.
yeah. Okay, mate, that's lovely. We're gonna skip to the next commercial break. Don't go away, Gav. Come back. I want to get into the music that you've chosen for the show. So we're gonna play a couple of your songs. But thank you ever so much. I'm finding this really interesting and informative. I hope you guys out there are too. Stick around, and we'll come back to Gav shortly.
The station that makes you feel good.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. Welcome back. This is UK Health Radio. I'm Jarvis Smith on our show, Lean Into Clean. I'm here with Gav Lawson from THTC, the very cool hemp clothing fashion style brand. They're doing their thing. Gav, I always ask my guests to come on the show and think about two songs that are absolute soundtracks to the way that you've chosen to live in the world, or the way that you operate in the world, or the soundtracks to your life. You've given us a couple of songs. Tell us the first song we're going to play, and you can, after we played it, you can tell me why you chose it.
So the first song is by a band called Lazy Habits, who I've been working with for 15 years, I guess. My favorite live band, without a doubt. They are a hip hop, well, fronted by a rapper who runs the whole band, and then they have a like three piece brass, and then quite often backing singers, and then quite often strings as well. But amazing kind of live performance. You always see them at Shambhala, places like that. Just wonderful. And I've been producing their merchandise for many years. And whenever a festival, when they're on, I always just run off, leave the stand, leave my staff to deal with it. And like, I'm going to see. So I've probably seen them more than any other band. But they're fantastic.
Brilliant. So this is Lazy Habits, and the song is Vermilion Sands. Vermilion Sands. Here we go. Wow, what a super powerful song. I love it. I love it. I'm going to check out their album. Thank you for that, Gav. Tell me why you chose that song. What does it mean to you, apart from your fact you love them?
Oh, I mean, they've always got an underlying message, an environmental message behind them. This is just the name of the latest album, which is kind of why I pushed it out there. But I mean, yeah, every one of their tracks, I think, is brilliant, particularly live, because of the full brass section they have. So, and the videos that they produce as well are always next level. James, who runs Lazy Habit, his wife is an award-winning film producer, so he's quite lucky because she does his videos.
Nice team.
Yeah, really nice team. But yeah, no, I just love that. I love, in fact, if you listen to the album, every track leads into another, so there's a whole story they tell. But that's just one of any track that I could have picked off the album.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. Love it, love it. So go and check out Lazy Habits if you've felt inspired by that Vermilion Sands. Gav, you know, we're running very close to the end of the show. Time absolutely flies on this, and I want to get your second song in. But just give us a quick, okay, so you're 25 years in. What's next for you? What are you working on right now?
Well, we produce a lot of merch for other brands and charities and whoever. So if anyone is interested in, you know, a range of hemp caps, socks, T-shirts, whatever, then that's, you know, that's something I'm really pushing at the moment. Business is tough. We're launching THCC.com in the next few weeks as well. So we're going to actually disband the UK and the EU site and launch it all under the same .com website. But also in the next few months, I'm starting THCC, the hemp trading charity, with a very good friend of mine, Gareth Dixon, who has been in the charity sector for 14, 15 years. We are going back to kind of basics of where we really started with the brand, which was raising awareness about sustainability in schools and with schools and businesses, really. So kind of a consultancy type model. So I'm stepping back a little bit from the branded side and going more into kind of training and lecturing, that sort of thing.
Wow, amazing. So it's like a new evolution. It's kind of Gav 2.0.
Yeah, really. I mean, I just want to try and have the biggest impact, positive effect as I can do, really. So I think education is a big part of that. It's a natural calling. And I really enjoy it as well, working with young people and bringing in some of the musicians and some of our ambassadors that we have to come in and talk to them. Because, you know, the future, it does look bleak to a lot of people, and there's not a lot of opportunities out there. Young people really struggle to obviously get on the housing ladder. And it's sometimes I think, you know, people are like, well, what's the point? So I want to just try and get in there and give some inspirational talks, really.
Yeah, nice. That sounds absolutely amazing, Gav. Well, just to remind you all, if you want to check out Gav and his label, it's thtc.co.uk. You can contact Gav through the website. I'm presuming there's a contact page on there if you want merchandise or anything for your brand, or, you know, gifts or things for yourself, then that's the place to go and check out. Gav, we're going to come to the end of the show. There is another song. Oh, no, don't worry. We've got some time. I'm not going to cut you off right here. We are going to play your second song, and then you can come back and have your moment at the end of the song. And then we'll play out with one of mine. So do you want to speak first, or do you want to get your second song in? What would you prefer to do?
I just, well, it's while I think of it. So THTC now only exists because of a friend of mine who I partnered with during the pandemic, because I was kind of out of energy and out of money, really, after the pandemic. And we partnered with a company called Seedsman, which is a cannabis seed company distributor, and they are our partners now. So I just wanted to give them some love. They go about their business in a very sustainable way as well, and I've known them for over 20 years, but they kind of brought me in as consultancy to do their merchandise, and then everything through all their packaging to how they run their business is very kind of sustainable and green as well. So I just wanted to give them a little bit of love as well.
Amazing. What are they called?
Seedsman.com.
Seedsman.com. Okay, brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. We often have hemp seeds in our porridge and stuff like that. It's such a lovely, lovely product. Okay, mate, cool. Well, let's get into your second track. We'll play it probably for 3 or 4 minutes, and then we'll come back to you just with a closing. Think about what you want to say as your closing statement, Gav, after this song. What's your second track?
So it's called Tum Rakak, and it's by a band called Deluxe, who are on Chinese Man Records, French band, absolutely brilliant, great festival band as well. But yeah, I just love them, just love their vibe.
Great, hope you enjoy this as much as we will. See you back in a sec. I love that chat. I like that old school reggae feel and the undercurrent of it with such a gorgeous voice. Why did you choose that, Gav?
Again, like Deluxe is one of my, I mean, I've been working with Chinese Man, the record label, for years, and they're more of a hip hop kind of vibe, but I just like Deluxe are on their label, and every one of their tracks, again, I just find so uplifting and so beautiful. And it's, I thought it was more appropriate for your listeners maybe than some of the hip hop that I normally listen to.
Love it. Love it. Gav, it's been an absolute pleasure. As always, I just say any last remarks from you that you'd like to leave as a lingering echo in our listeners' ears?
Well, really, just remember that the power is with us. So, you know, corporations, companies, industries that we decide collectively they have no place in our society anymore, and they're damaging. You know, we have the power. I'd also mention that one hectare of hemp can absorb a lot more CO2 than any other like trees, any other crop. So, you know, if there is an opportunity to be pushing hemp out there or getting involved in the hemp industry, there are hemp farms around the place. You know, Hempen is one of them. Margate Farm is another one of them. Just read up on hemp, because you'd be surprised how influential the crop can be. That's all I would say. Look for hemp wherever you can.
Absolutely amazing, Gav. It's been such a pleasure having you on the show. Thank you so much. I look forward to catching up with you properly off air. We're going to end the show this week with the same as always, Save the World by Jarvis Smith, the track that we did to help raise money for the most affected people and areas through Fridays for Futures with Greta Thunberg. I'm out. This is Jarvis. This is UK Health. This is Lean Into Clean. We look forward to seeing you next Monday. Thank you, Gav. This is Save the World by yours truly, featuring Rita Mora. Enjoy.